I've got another interview in this morning. Mental Health America of Putnam County's Karen Martoglio.
Very good.
Martoglio. Am I saying it right?
Martoglio. That's right. It's Italian. I married into it. So, yes.
Very good. I like it. Of course, my Italian accent is pitiful.
Well, but, you know, it has a silent G like spaghetti and lasagna, so it always throws everybody. So
yeah, I've seen that in there, and I'm like, I want the Martoglio and all that, but it's just not the case. It is good to have you back.
It's always delightful to be here, Jay. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, I just love having you on. Understand that just this past February 17th was Founders Day. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I'd love to. If I said that, it was the 19th, not that it matters.
Oh, okay.
And, Founders Day, I had to look it up because I'm like, wow, Founders Day. I've been with MHA for like 7 years and I've kind of known about Founders Day. So I read a little bit more about it. It's actually the day that one of our main founder, Clifford Beers, and then with a philosopher, William James, and another psychiatrist, Adolf Meyer, created the National Committee for Mental Hygiene. So, and later that was the National Mental Health Association, and that's what we call Mental Health America today.
Clifford Beers, now I've heard that name. Tell me a little bit about Clifford Beers. What kind of man was he?
Clifford Beers wrote a book. It was called The Mind That Found Itself, and it's amazing. It's an autobiography about his journey through mental health struggles, which were very severe. Well, I'll touch on some of those and just his struggles and then his way back to the normal world. Back into the world of fully living as much as he could. Right.
Yes.
So after that, just a great story. And actually, part of it is the story of the bell that we call it MHA. So the story of the bell goes that Clifford Beers was from an influential East Coast family. I think he had graduated from Yale and one of the Ivy League colleges. I'm 90% sure it was Yale. And he kind of had status and he had a brother, had a family who loved him, and his brother had epilepsy.
Oh, my.
And at that point in time, that was quite a severe condition to have. They didn't know, it was kind of spooky, And the brother died from that. And Clifford was incredibly affected by that. And he was scared to death that he was going to get it and die too, or that he had done something to cause it. You know, the causes were unknown then, completely unknown. And so he started developing psychosis because of this.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so to the point of he barely made it through college. I mean, barely, in that he was fine academically, but mentally he was so unstable. And he went back to his, family and got a job, but it was hard for him to, kind of hold it together. He just had these delusions that the police were coming for him and he was going to shame the family. And to shame such a family was, the worst thing, worse than death. And so he attempted suicide, jumped out of a second story window, broke tons of bones in his body, survived. But because of that, they had to put him in the hospital, right? Makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
While he was there, he was obviously immobile and his psychosis deepened. And so then he kept hearing things in the walls and the radiators, the old radiator heat. He would hear that and kind of freak out, think that if something would whistle, it was the sirens of the police coming to get him and lock him away forever. And he was just going to bring such shame on his family. It was just, it was just the worst thing that he could do for, his family. He physically mended, but obviously his psychosis was to the point that he couldn't stay at home. They couldn't take care of him. So he was admitted to then a hospital for people who had mental health conditions like psychosis, that kind of thing.
Let me say this, and I'm not sure if our listening audience knows this or not, but this was in the early 1900s, wasn't it?
Yes. Late 1800s, early 1900s even.
This is over 100 years ago,
Well over 100 years ago, yes. So this is not... not recent history. This is kind of, yeah, this is old history.
So this is something when he's worried about bringing shame on his family, this is something that back at that time was a huge thing, as well as the institutions back then were just godless, weren't they?
Right. And actually, they were torturous.
Yeah.
So he was in those institutions for 3 years. And, you know, he witnessed and he was subjected to horrible abuse. So shackles, chains, just horrible conditions. And the good news is his family stayed with him for the whole thing. And I need to get more specific facts. I've read his autobiography, except for like the last few chapters. So I do have to say, but I know it's a happy ending. So the ending is that he recovered with the help from his family, got released, and then became a functional member of our society. And then, of course, since he had his senses with him, he decided to form again. That's why Founders Day is on February 19th with the other gentleman for the National Mental Hygiene Association.
That is amazing. That is an amazing story of this gentleman who went really, I mean, he always had riches, but it doesn't matter. And that brings up a good point.
You don't
have to be poor to have mental health issues.
No. And you know, and you don't have to be rich either. It's like, you know, 1 out of 7 of us will deal with a pretty large mental health condition in your life. So it's not uncommon.
And they don't all have to be like Clifford, where he heard voices in the radiators. He's experiencing all these delusional things that make up certain aspects of some types of schizophrenia,
right.
And so forth, which I believe is what we were talking earlier that he had.
Right.
But, you know, there's other forms, too, that go along with that. And Mental Health America of Putnam County helps through all of those. Is that right?
So what we do is we're an education and advocacy champion for people in Putnam County. So what we do is we connect people with resources who can help address those mental health conditions. And we have had people call and say, I'm hearing voices, or, you know, my daughter's hearing voices, mm-hmm. or we get a lot of people calling for family or neighbors or friends. And, you know, obviously we have people calling for themselves as well. So, yeah, that's one of our hallmark services that we do, is we help you find the help that you need. And you know, it's about if I go through the whole thing, it's like 30 or 40 minutes, but usually I can narrow down the specific needs and specific services that are available to you in probably about 20 minutes. So that's another conversation we might have one day, but
that'd be good.
Yeah. But one thing I wanted to touch on is when you talk to somebody from MHA, we always call it the story of the bell.
Yes. Okay.
So, It is in conjunction with Founders Day, in that all those shackles that at that time, right, in 09, I think, is when MHA was, I'm going to look real quick.
I know.
Yeah, 1909 was founding day. So, yes, well over 100 years ago. So this is when he'd post, you know, post psychosis, right, schizophrenia, and knew that they needed to do something. So they called on all of the mental health institutions in the country for those institutions to stop using their shackles and chains and to send them to a foundry out east. And they made what is now the Mental Health Bell. And
Oh, wow.
It was, I mean, it's like the Liberty Bell. It's this huge bell that was cast, and it rings for, you know, the freeing of, you know, the clutches of mental illness that people may have.
Can I ask you, and you may know this and you may not know this, but can you give our audience and myself an idea maybe of what it might have been like back in the early 1900s, late 1800s in a mental institution like that? What would they do to kind of help, as it were, people with mental illness?
Well, you know, because there was so little understood, you know, physical restraints were the only option that I think the caretakers had at their disposal. They didn't realize that there were methods and, you know, scientific discoveries and just other, you know, even other cultural ways to deal with mental illness that don't involve torture and, you know, physical abuse. So, yeah, I mean, thank goodness we're where we're at today. And let's hope that, you know, we never return to those situations where, you know, force is the immediate reaction to somebody who's having a mental health condition. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even now, it's it would be nice if people with mental health training would be the first on call with mental health conditions. But, you know, as we all know, it's so hard to get the help that you need. Yeah. Sometimes you can't get it soon. So sometimes you go, right, you call our emergency services, and there are plans in place. And I think even now there are mental health professionals that can be called if specifically that it's known that it's a mental health condition. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what a great, you know, benefit. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that a lot of public safety administrators and politicians and, you know, the people who, you know, take care of our communities, you know, at an administration level, I think they're all looking towards getting those supports in place so that when you have a mental health condition that you're challenged with, you're met with an appropriate response.
Yes, support and help and what's needed at the time. Myself, and I have a personal connection with mental health, you know, situations. My mother had mental health issues all through her life, and I know that just as my dad was getting ready to marry my mom, she had a sunstroke, which exacerbated those mental health, you know, situations, problems that she had. And she used to go, when they moved to Indiana, she would have to go to Madison, Indiana, which they had a mental health facility there. The state hospital is in Madison, Indiana. And so she spent some time in there, came home. All through my life as a child growing up, that's how I knew my mother, struggling with mental health issues. Uh-huh. But there are treatments out there that helped her. And of course, now, this was back, you know, of course, I was born.
You gosh,
I'm going to tell
it.
My age. Maybe I should. But I remember back in the early days, how about that?
Yes.
That my mom didn't have some of the medical availability, some of the things that are available now that can help people. And they're not going, I mean, if you have an issue, they're not going to, you know, chain you up or anything. They're going to give you help, give you whatever it is, counseling. Maybe there's medications out there, maybe. I don't know.
Right. And, you know, one thing that I wanted to point out to that, I think there are many people, I know I used to be one, that said, you know, if you have mental health issues, then this is before I got into mental health as a more of a profession. And I'm not a professional mental health person. I'm just I'm a professional advocate for mental health issues.
Yes.
There's a difference. So, but I was of the opinion that, you know, you should be a kinder and gentler, you know, counseling, right? There should be behavioral things that you can do to help, you know, somebody with a mental health condition. But, you know, it turns out, I mean, Jay, you wouldn't feel bad. You wouldn't dare tell somebody who was diabetic that, well, you should just solely do it with, you know, food. And I mean, yeah, that's you're not the professional in that situation. Of course, some people need insulin or they will die.
Go jog.
Right.
Yeah, right. No,
yeah,
you ain't gonna do that.
Yeah. So mental health conditions, you know, thank goodness we're in a place where we are now. Some people's brains have chemical imbalances and yeah, there are, you know, professionals that will help guide you through what medications work for what, right? There's discovering new all the time, but there, mm-hmm, are some that they know work fairly well. So, you know, let's not have that stigma, right? That's the other thing,
yes,
too, that Clifford Beers was huge on. Let's just eliminate the stigma of mental illness, because it's an illness, right?
Yes.
You wouldn't stigmatize somebody for taking insulin for being diabetic. You wouldn't stigmatize somebody for taking a heart medication, right, if they need it and, mm-hmm, it helps them in their daily life, being a full member of our society. There should be no stigma to medicated help for mental health conditions.
I agree with you totally. And I think another important thing just in my mind that that I'm thinking to point out here is in Clifford Beer's case, he had a strong family connection that allowed him to be, fostered maybe and helped through his family who supported him, who were there
for him.
Who, didn't leave him behind in the hospital, but kind of, was there for him each step of the way and ultimately was what brought him into a place where he could now help others. And I think that that's important for our families to understand. For me to understand is that when we're with a family member who suffers from mental illness, we've got to be there for them through thick or thin, just like we would if we had a heart condition or diabetes, just like you were saying.
Exactly. Interesting side story. So I was at a training, and whenever I'm in the room, everybody clicks in like, oh yeah, the MHA lady is here, so we need to make sure we talk about mental health, A, with respect, and B, in a good voice, and mention it, right? Everybody always mentions it, which I appreciate. Thank you, everybody who's always done that. That's one of my rules. So, we were in a training, and the person that conducted the training or introduced the speaker, mentioned mental health. And when he got to mental health, he's like, oh, and, mental health, is really important. And, he just hemmed and hawed, and you could tell he was very uncomfortable talking about mental health. He hadn't done it before. And I went up to the person afterwards, and I said, okay. His name was not Todd, but I'll say Todd. So Todd, I said, next time you need to talk about mental health, take the mental off of it and just talk about like our health is so important and we really need to make sure that we, take care of it. And we need to make sure that, you plan for it and you think about it and you are actively engaged in making yourself better, right? With your health, right? I mean, we exercise, we eat right, right? We take a mental health screening. We, make sure that we enlist help if we need it, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it be mental, physical, right? And you can talk about that without getting verklempt. You can talk about it, just so easily. So just take the mental off, and hey, mental health is just like any other health, I guess is the whole point. And I'll tell you, he's a manager in the corporation now, and he's like, I will never forget that. He said that made the total difference.
That's amazing. That's great. And I've got a question for you now, since you have brought that up. So everybody out there, including myself, including yourself, we all have moments of mental fatigue. We all have moments where, we are stressed and that we have all of these things coming at us. That is part of our mental health, I understand. Am I right about that?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And do you have any suggestions like what can I do to kind of get myself in, kind of tune with reality and just, keep myself mentally healthy?
Yes, yes. So, this is a good segue into we are starting our planning right now. Actually, we've already done a little already, but May, I'll be on maybe more than just once. It's Mental Health Awareness Month. And one of the wonderful things about being part of a national organization is they have mental health professionals and designers and, ombudsmen and, these wonderful public speakers all about mental health. And they create toolkits for us. And actually, the last 2 years address exactly what you're talking about. Just beautifully, the 2021 was called Mind Your Health. Mm-hmm. And the graphics were gorgeous, still my favorite to this day. And it talked about just how to do those basic check-ins, like things to think about, things to keep yourself healthier. And then just last year's 2022 was back to basics because mental health is in the conversation anymore, right? I mean, it's something that people are talking about more and more. They realize how important it is, how it feeds into your physical health, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, all things are interrelated, and mental health is now finally out in the open. It's kind of beating down that stigma, right? We can talk about it more easily. So the back to basics give you those tools to talk about it better. So they're two of my favorite toolkits. I can't wait till 2023 comes out. It should be released to me a little early in March, hopefully. And we'll have a big push for that in May.
Well, in May, we will certainly have you back in more than once to kind of get all this, you know, out to the public and get, you know, interest peaked and, you know, have those resources out there for people to hear. I wish people right now could kind of be in the studio with us and watching this interview. They are hearing the interview, but there's a certain atmosphere of excitement between us that I can see on your face when you talk about the new and upcoming things that are going to help people out, you know, because it's just such a wonderful project, a wonderful organization that you're in.
Yeah, it is. I mean, MHA isn't just me. We have marvelous board members. We have volunteers. So, yeah, it just hopefully they'll be talking about MHA more and more. And, yeah, reach out to us if you have any questions. That's one thing we're here for, too.
Well, I'm going to ask you this, then we'll kind of move on. But MHA of Putnam County, I know we're here, but there's more than just us. I mean, this is national. Am I right?
Right. I think there's over 200 MHAs across the country. I hail from Wyoming, and it's one of the only states that doesn't have an MHA. So maybe I'll throw this to some of my former high school students who are doing, or not students, classmates who are in mental health fields back there. Maybe they can start one. But yeah, it's wonderful to have such a large, well-run organization at a national level that then disseminates all this consistent, you know, information across the country. Two things. We have wonderful MHAs in Indiana, and each of them kind of have their own strengths, like the Mental Health America of Wabash Valley region, which ironically is up in Tippecanoe, Lafayette. They are our 988 center. So when you call for help, the 988 is a national crisis suicide hotline.
Oh,
so
fantastic.
You'll get that in our region. So they have a marvelous team to help with, you know, trained, ready to answer any call 24/7. So that's call or text. So that's great. And then another big strength is it's West Central Indiana, it's Vigo County, and then the surrounding counties as well. They're huge into helping with housing for people who are homeless that are mentally ill, and
awesome.
Especially veterans. They have, I think, 175-bed veteran space for that area for homeless vets. So, I mean, wonderful, wonderful work. The MHA in Northeast Indiana is fabulous at training. The MHA of Indiana is the parent company for the Indiana Recovery Network, who actually has now helped Putnam County with funding. The Putnam County Recovery Coalition is part of the IRN, the Indiana Recovery Network, that is bringing peer counselors to our area.
Oh, wow.
So,
very cool.
Yeah, so lots of stuff that MHA is doing for Indiana. Those are just like four highlights of like the bigger ones, but there are some smaller ones as well. Monroe County and Bloomington has a small one. So yeah, we're all doing things and hopefully keeping that lens focused and helping as we can, because we know the lay of the land here with those national resources that are vetted and just so great.
I hope you don't mind me asking. I don't know that I've ever asked you this before. I know we had another interview a while back that was just a wonderful interview that people can go on to PutnamCountyPost.com and check out under morning interviews, so they can hear that interview that we did last time.
They can. And actually, I have both of our last interview and then the one before with Alicia are on our website. So if you go to MHA in the News, you can listen to all of our recorded archived interchanges.
Do it. You want to listen to that. But my question is, and this leads back to where I was, I don't know that I asked this before, and I don't know if Alicia asked this when she was interviewing you, but how, I mean, you do a lot of stuff all around the country and certainly here in Putnam County. How are you funded?
We are really fortunate. The Putnam County Commissioners have given us part of the American CARES Act funding. So that's going to be funding our big promotion for Mental Health Awareness Month and throughout this whole year. So we're really looking forward to that. Our 100 Women Who Care were generous enough to select us for one of their recipients.
Mm-hmm.
We have members. So if you'd like to be a member of MHA, you can certainly contact us or go on our website and be a member. We have a marvelous friend who made a huge donation at the beginning of this year, which I'm eternally grateful for. So donations, in-kind donations. Some mental health professionals in our region donate a little bit in each paycheck, literally like $1 or $2, and it amounts to I mean, it's not a lot. We would want more, but even $1 or $2 a month to us would mean the world to us. So donors like that. We also write grants for specific things that we do. So yeah, that's pretty much all of our funding.
All right. Well, perfect. I'm glad you informed me of that, and glad that I asked. So is there anything else you'd like to share with us today?
I am just so thrilled that you have me on, and I love to chat. I can chat forever. And we didn't quite know what we were going to talk about today. And I'm glad we talked about Founders Day. And if anybody, again, A Mind Who Found Itself is by Clifford Beers. That's the autobiography. And I'll leave you as well. One of the quotes from that is, I must fight in the open. And so it just, you know, illustrates that you need to keep that conversation going and, you know, just squash that stigma, right? You have to fight in the open.
That's
so
right.
I just love that phrase.
Keep it out in the open and real, and there's no stigma there, right?
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Karen, as always, thank you again for being in here this morning. It has been another great interview just talking to you. It's just been so fun.
And thank you for sharing, Jay, too. I know, you know, in years past, that could have been really difficult to share. So that's really nice that you were able to give us a peek of who you are. So I think that's marvelous.
Well, thank you very much. And we'll have to talk about that more sometime.
Okay, that sounds great. Take care. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for coming in. Bye-bye.
Bye.